Thanks again to Andrew for those very kind words of welcome. I have certainly enjoyed the meeting up to this point, and I've enjoyed all of that wonderful singing, and even Brian and Evelyn as they've ministered, and they've ministered to my heart. And certainly you could look at all of those great hymns this evening, and they would certainly sum up the testimony, wouldn't they, nearly of any one of us, because we're trusting in the great God of heaven, the one who loved us and the one who saved us. Just going to read a few verses this evening before I share a word of testimony. And they are a bit jumping all over the place, but we trust that you'll follow them through. If you don't have a Bible, well, just listen to the words. Psalm 103 and verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thy iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." And this is the verse. "Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies." Just over a couple of pages to Psalm 107, and again the first couple of verses. Psalm 107, it says, "O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy." And one final reading over in 1 Peter in chapter 1. 1 Peter in chapter 1, just verses 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as ye know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Just thus far, we know that God will bless the public reading of his own precious word to our hearts this evening. I've read three little portions of scripture, and there proves a great connecting word as the word redeemed. And it's great to be redeemed, isn't it? To be saved, to be sure that your sins are forgiven, to be sure that you're at peace with God. In Psalm 103, we read those words, redeemed from destruction. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we redeemed by precious blood. And in Psalm 107, we're redeemed to say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. The Lord is good, isn't he? That's what we want to say tonight. We want to uplift God. And we can say tonight that the Lord is good. Can't say that life is easy, but we can certainly say that the Lord is good. Looking back, I suppose I was brought up in a home. There was five children. There was three boys, two girls. I was the youngest of the three lads. In our home, it wasn't, I suppose, a wealthy home, but it was a loving home. It was a home where we were sent along to Sunday school twice on a Sunday, along to church in the afternoon, and then along to a little mission hall late in the evening. That was Sunday. The rest of the week was something else. The rest of the week was our own. And I suppose, looking back, well, it's almost 60 years. You might as well know that I'm 60 this year. But looking back, I suppose it was a traditional Ulster home. I can remember looking back, and I can remember my mother washing the potatoes on a Saturday night. I can remember the shoes being polished for Sunday morning. Everything, there was nothing that happened on the Lord's Day other than church. It was a day that was special. It was a day that was set apart. And yet it wasn't a Christian home. But it was a good home. There was five of us in the family, and well, being the youngest lad, I always got the hand-me-downs. Whenever the brothers got the new clothes, and whenever they got a year or two out of them, and then they fitted me, and I got another year or two out of them, and then they were done. But I stayed a wee bit nearer to the table, and I ate a few extra spuds, and I became the biggest in the family. And I'm still the biggest in the family. The oldest brother is only comes to about my shoulder. And then the other brother, well, He could be 2 inches higher, but he's not as big as me. But you know, looking back, we can say that we really enjoyed life to the full. And I was listening the day, just travelling up the road, and to Bobby Juklow. And Bobby says, we're not here long, but we should enjoy it. And enjoy life to the full. And that was how we lived our lives. We enjoyed life to the full. We lived in a little village, Gracefield by name. It's a little Moravian village away up there, just on the outskirts of Matterfelt. And there was maybe 10 or 12 lads. We used to play football every evening after school. And then when we got bored with the football, we decided that we would raid a few orchards. We had an orchard of our own, but the apples didn't taste the same. There was no fun in it. And to get a bit of fun, we used to head off and raid all the orchards in the country. And it wasn't, I suppose, the apples that we were after. It was the chase. To see someone coming out of a house and shouting at us and maybe chasing us about 2 or 3 fields, that was the thrill of it all. And well, I was always, I suppose, keeping watch. And well, I got a nickname. It was called Dick. That name stuck with me for many years, just because I was the one who was watching for the farmer coming. And sometimes we get caught and we got a slap in the ear and we get sent home. But you know, those were great days. We enjoyed them, and they were great fun, as it were. But you know, I suppose as life goes on, and we headed off to the big school in Magherfelt, I suppose at 13 years of age or whatever. And we headed off to the big school, and my mother sent us out faithfully every morning. Go to school. We went. Now, if it was slippy, the bus had to stop at the bottom of the hill. If the bus didn't stop at the bottom of the hill, we didn't get on. And when it stopped at the bottom of the hill, it couldn't get over the hill. It was always good fun. We loved to wind the bus driver up. But that's how we were. And then when it came to the summertime and the sun was shining, we went to school in the morning, got our name signed in the roll book. And there behold, after the first class, we were out the door. There was 3 or 4 of us, and I suppose being the rascals that we were, we weren't very much into education. And I suppose I regret that today. But you know, those were good days as we took off from school. But then whenever you took off from school, you had no lunch. And we used to work in the little butcher shop, making sausages. And I can remember one day just making sausages in the little butcher shop, and I could hear this voice at the front counter ordering sausages for the evening tea, and I said, I knew that voice. And I peeked around the corner, and guess who it was? It was my mother. She was buying sausages that I was making. But there's a little verse of scripture in the book of Deuteronomy. This is what it says. It says, be sure that your sins will find you out. Be sure that your sins will find you out. You can hide your sins. You can hide them from your friends. You can hide them from your families. But there's an all-seeing eye of God that looks down from heaven. And you not hide your sins from God. And you can be sure that your sins will find you out. Now, the attendance officer called after a few weeks off school and told my mother and father that I wasn't at school. My father didn't believe in sparing the rod and spoiling the child. But I can be sure that I knew what it was to get a slap around the legs with the buckle of a belt. It was harsh. But my father never gave me a slap for nothing. It was always for something. Something that was wrong. Something, I suppose, that we can look back. But those were mighty days. You might say, well, you never done anything really bad. I didn't. But I want to tell you tonight that doing bad things doesn't make you a sinner. Sinner is how that you are born. You are born as a sinner. You're already separated from God before ever you do anything wrong. And friends, sin is a very serious thing. Sin is something that condemns us and separates between us and our God, and sin is something that will keep us out of heaven. And I've done many things wrong in life. After leaving school, I suppose we got involved in work, as many have told you this morning, that I was a motor mechanic, worked a bit at the cars, and then I moved on to the lorries. But there's one thing that I had that was a problem. You know what it was? I had a bad temper. Imagine a mechanic with a bad temper. I had a bad temper. And I worked in this firm, and I suppose they had 24 lorries and 60-odd trailers. And there used to be a mountain of work come into the garage. And there were six of us in the garage, and I was the foreman. And all this hassle. And I was working one day at a gearbox. And the boss was looking the lorry out that evening. And I was getting stressed, and this boy came in. He says, "I have a flat wheel in the wheelbarrow. Could you patch it?" I mind throwing the hammer at him. Didn't hit him, but I mind throwing the hammer at him and telling him to get out of the garage. That's how I was. There was a car come to the front of the house one night, a group of young lads, and they were carrying on badly outside, and they were upsetting everything. And I remember going out and shouting at these boys. I was going to tell them to move on. And the young lad screwed up the window of the car, sitting in behind the car, and he made some sort of a rude sign out through the window of the car. And I can remember, just in bad temper, I drove the window in around him. I got him by the throat. He was very easy to talk to. I'll tell you, when that one day came in around him, it scared the life out of him. He thought he was sent for. But you know, God was gracious. I didn't bother any more with him, but I told him to leave and to get away. But you know, looking back, we have many things that we regret in life. We have many things that we enjoyed in life as fun. But I want to tell you tonight, when it comes to the matter of sin, it's a serious thing. The God of heaven thought it so serious that he sent his Son all the way from heaven to go to Calvary's cross to lay down his life to save a sinner like me. Amazing grace. We've been singing it earlier. But you know, as time went on, I tried, I suppose, the bookies, I tried the butts, I tried the booze, and then I tried the birds. And I went the way of all flesh. I went to a dance, I met a nice girl called Shirley, and we danced about a while, and then eventually we got married. Now, that's 34 or 35 years ago. But looking back, there have been good times. And I could tell you tonight that I love my wife, but I also could tell you that I love chocolate. But there's a difference the way that I love my wife and the way that I love chocolate. And looking back, we had good times, but you know, we didn't have any children of our own. And we decided that we would foster some children. We applied and we threw all the rigmarole and all the rest, and we began to foster different children. And I can remember, there was a girl came to us, I suppose she was about 11 and a half years of age, and we sent her out to Sunday school every Sunday, faithfully. Sent her out to church every Sunday. And she came home one Sunday after the church, and she said, "Why should I go to church whenever you don't?" Now, that was a challenge. I started to go back to church. Now, that did not make me a Christian. You could go to church 7 days a week and still never be ready to meet God. I attended the church. I even got as far as lifting the collection in the church. I got involved in different things within the church. There came a missionary one time to Kettle Dozen Presbyterian Church, Trevor Matthews, and the boss says to us one day at work, he says, "I would love you all to go." This was at dinner time in the dining area. And he says, "If you go tonight for an hour," he says, "I'll pay you." I told him my soul wasn't for sale. And I meant it. But whenever there was another mission came to the little mission hall, it's a little mission hall, it's only about 300 yards from my front door. I went to it as a child. I was looking at photographs a few months back of attending a little children's club in it where there was 40 children. Now, if you've seen the village, you would wonder if they've got 40 children, but there was 40 of us. And we attended that little mission hall, a little children's club. And I suppose about 13 years of age, I'd been in it quite often up to that time. But from 13 till the time I was saved, I don't think I was outside that little mission hall. But in 1992, there came two faith mission pilgrims. You know them well. Trevor and Esther Gallanders. They came to do a mission in Ballymacwigan Mission Hall. The boss asked me if I would go to the mission. Well, he didn't get a good reception. The wee man that run the mission hall always visited our door, Jim Jemison, mighty man of God. I can remember him yet. He would have come every month or every 2 months knocking on the door and said, so-and-so's coming to preach at the hall tonight. You'll maybe come up. But I never sent him away disappointed. I always said, Jim, I'll do my best. But I never went. There was something on television, something in the town. Tensions were good, but I didn't go near it. Sometimes Shirley would have went, but I never went. But when the pilgrims came, I suppose they were asking at the door. The boss at work was asking me to go. This wee man that run the mission hall was knocking at the door. There were different other Christians giving me plenty of hassle. And I thought, well, I'd go one night. And I'd be able to say that I was at the mission. Never need to go back. And it was into the third week of the mission on a Sunday evening that I went along. Trevor Matthews was speaking that night. And Trevor was speaking on 2 Samuel 3 and verse 33. That little verse of scripture says that the king lamented over Abner and said, died Abner as a fool dieth. And if you know the story of Abner, Abner died just outside of the city of refuge, right at the very gate. Another step or two, he would have been inside, he would have been safe. And boy, the challenge came to me that night. As Trevor looked down, I was terrified. And when he looked down at me, I looked down at the ground, under such deep sense of conviction. I can remember going out through the little hall door that night, and if Trevor had spoke to me, I don't know what would have happened, but he didn't. He said goodnight, and on we went. But I thank God that that verse of scripture stayed with me. And it didn't say Abner anymore. I could see the God of heaven standing on judgment day and with tears running down his face and saying, died Ian as a fool died. He was a man who knew the scriptures. He was a man who was brought up under the sound of the gospel. He was a man who could quote Isaiah 53 and get a half crown for it. That works out about a penny per verse, by the way. But I knew all of those things. I knew that I was a sinner. There was never any question in my mind that I was a sinner. There was never any question in my mind that I needed to be saved. And I knew how to be saved. Because I was brought up with the gospel. But I was outside the gate. And I was just outside, I suppose, that city of refuge. And it was only a step away. But I wasn't saved. And I'd been so often challenged, I suppose, in different meetings. But that verse stayed with me all the next day. I was quiet. You hardly believe that. And I suppose I didn't like to speak about spiritual things. There's something about us, isn't there? Whenever it comes to our soul and God, we don't like to talk about it. It's a conversation stopper. And whenever you start to challenge... But the next night, my wife went along to the mission, and she had known some of Trevor Gallander's sisters. She was brought up with them in Belfast. And she thought she would ask this man if these were his sisters. So she got into conversation with him at the door of the little mission hall. And the conversation got so far into it that she said, why don't you come down to the house for a cup of tea? And there I am, sitting at home, minding the children. And this older girl, she's in Macclesfield, she's in at the youth club. And the next thing, these two pilgrims arrive in. And they want to talk about spiritual things. And I want to get out. And I went to Macclesfield, I suppose, to lift the young girl at the youth club. And I can remember lifting and leaving a couple of her friends home around Macclesfield. And going to the shop and buying a little few sweets. And then driving around the town about four times. And I thought to myself, by the time I get home, these pair will be away. There'll be no more questions about it, and it'll just fade out. But when I arrived home, they were still there. They were really enjoying a cup of tea. And the conversation, I suppose, the children were put off to bed, and then the conversation came round to the mission and round to spiritual things. And I can remember just about a quarter to 11 at night, just opening up and starting to tell Trevor how that God had spoken to me the night before in the little mission hall. And how I was under conviction of sin. And he says, you know, the Lord's speaking to you. He said, not time you were saved. And I can remember that night just in my own little sitting room at home. And I can't remember tonight whether my wife made a prayer first or whether I made it first. But the both of us got saved. And I can remember getting down on my knees, as I suppose, as a child of the devil on my way to a lost eternity. And I arose as a child of God. There was no flashing lights. There was no big bang. There was nothing out of the ordinary. I simply took God at his word. And God says in his word that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I made a very simple prayer, but I had called on the name of the Lord. What did that make me? And I have been standing firm on the promises of God ever since. That night God saved me. That's only the beginning. You have only another hour and a half to go. But you know, that's only the beginning. Since that time, I suppose, looking back in hindsight, I could tell you tonight that the Lord is good. The Lord has blessed us in many ways. Yes, he has blessed us with quite a number of children coming and going over the years, and it's been good to have them in our lives. We adopted two. And you think we have fostered somewhere around about 18 different children. But the Lord has been good to us. I joined the little prayer group in the little mission hall. I used to see these men going in on a Tuesday night. I used to say they were holy Joes. They're going in to pray. And I didn't even know what a prayer really was. Ach, yes, I heard men pray up at the front of a church. But to hear men cry unto God for the salvation of souls, to hear men cry for their next door neighbour is something different. I got involved in that little prayer union, and I can remember going the first night, sitting nice and quietly in the back row. We went along the next night, I suppose a week later, and the wee man that runs the prayer union, this is what he said. He says, you know, tonight we're going to sing a hymn, and we sung, I think it's 354 in your book, I'm not ashamed to own my Lord, or to defend his cause. And we sung the hymn. And Maya, he says, after singing a hymn like that, it would be good to share a word of testimony. And there were seven or eight of us in the hall. And he says, we'll just go around the hall, 2 minutes each or less. Tell us how you got saved and when you got saved. And that was the first time I ever shared my testimony. It was only 2 minutes. It wasn't hard to share because I could say I was saved 2 weeks ago. But you know, after we had sung the hymn and shared a wee word of testimony, he says, now we'll just thank the Lord for saving us. And that was my first public prayer. Just thanking God for saving my soul. There has never been a day that has gone past since that I haven't thanked the God of heaven for saving a sinner like me. Called me into the work of the faith mission. And now, if I go into all of the call and all of the rest, I'll be here to bedtime. But you know, he called me. And I can remember it very clearly. I think it was Violet McCulloch was the speaker. And she was speaking about the rich young ruler, selling all that she had, that he had, to give to the poor and to follow Christ. And I decided that night, well, God, if you want me to go to the Faith Mission College, I'll go. I went home, and we chatted it over with Shirley. And Shirley said, I don't feel the call. That was a problem, wasn't it? And I struggled with it, and I began to do a little correspondence course with the Bible College. But I was never happy, because I knew the Lord wanted me to go to the college. And I went to speak to the wee man that ran the mission hall, and hoping for some words of wisdom. And that's exactly what I got. And I says, "Jim, I believe the Lord's calling me to service. What should I do?" You know what he said? He said, "It's a big thing if it's the Lord's will." He says, "A far bigger one if it's not. It'll ruin your life." I was afraid before. You can imagine how I felt now. It was so different. Prayed about it, doing the correspondence course. I come home one day at dinner time, and I was doing a little study in the book of Joshua, and I was to read the first few chapters, and I sat down to read Joshua chapter 1, and it came to verse 14. You know what it says? It says, "Leave thy brethren and thy family on this side of the Jordan and go over and help thy brethren." It couldn't be clearer. Just to leave it all. And I went to the Bible college in fear and trembling. I left my family. We had a mortgage hanging over our head. But looking back, I can say to God be the glory. Great things he has done. He brought us through all of those years. I've been with the mission now for, I suppose, about 24 years. I'm saved 25 on the 27th of January, 1992. So I'm 25 years saved this week. And I'm 60 years of age this year. It's tremendous tonight to be able to say with the hymn writer of old, "Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb." And I could go on tonight and tell you how that the Lord has used us in those 24 years. And it's not because of me. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. But I'm in his service. And I'm willing to go wherever he wants me to go. And I'm willing to do whatever he wants me to do. That's my testimony. And to bring it up to date, just this week, I've been reading through Daniel and I've been really encouraged. Daniel and his three friends were mighty men of prayer. Whenever they come to a situation, you know what they did? They prayed about it. And God moved and God helped them. And God has even helped me in the week that has passed. In the last 3 years, I suppose I have withdrawn or pulled back a little bit from the work of the faith mission. My wife has finished up in a wheelchair. And sometimes life can be a struggle. But there's one thing that always encourages me. And that is to know that the presence of God is always with us. No matter what the trial, no matter what the trouble, the God of heaven is in the midst of it. He's there in the storms. And you know, I was thinking just of Daniel. Daniel had to go into the lion's den. God didn't deliver him not to go in. He went in. But God went in with him. And God brought him safely out the other side. We have a great God tonight. The Lord is good. And if you're here tonight and you're not saved, there has never been a moment in your life when you trusted Christ as your Savior. I want to encourage you this evening to put your faith and your trust in him. Because if you trust him, the Bible says that you will be saved. It says in John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into any condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." You see that night on the 27th of January, the moment that I trusted Christ, I passed from death unto life. My life was changed. My life was transformed. And the God who saved me can save anyone in this building. And he simply asked tonight that you would come. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden." The promise is, if you come, he says, "I will give you rest." That's my testimony. And I suppose it's brief, it's short. But because of the limit of time, that's all I'm going to share with you this evening. But I encourage you to trust Christ, because to know him is life eternal. Let us pray together. Our Father, we thank you tonight for this time that we have spent in thy most holy presence. We thank you, Father, tonight for redemption ground. We thank you, Father, tonight that we're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver or gold. But, Father, we're redeemed with the precious blood of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. We thank you, Father, tonight for the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And, Father, our heart's desire and prayer for this congregation, Father, that if there's one in our midst tonight who is without God and without hope, still heading for that place of destruction, we pray, Father, tonight that you might speak to such. Father, that they might leave this place tonight standing on redemption ground because they have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask now, Father, at the end of this service, that you would part us with thy blessing, that you would lead us in the way that you would have us to go. Father, that you would keep your hand upon us for good. And Father, may your blessing be upon each one of us. For we ask it, give and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.